obviously being Halloween this week, so we'll take a Halloween theme and the accidental disguise you wear when job hunting and how it can hurt you in the long run. Brian Briscoe from Briscoe Searches with us. Morning.
Good morning, James.
It's been a while. Yeah, it has been a while. Do people fake it in an interview? Surely not.
Well, what an I always say this when I come on, but what an interesting preamble to this section was about, you know, the lack of face-to-face communication that technology is taking over. So I was driving in, I was listening to that, and I was thinking, well, God, if we're having less practice in life, face-to-face communication, interviews are going to become even harder.
Well, maybe interviews should be just done by text.
It's been known to happen, James. Well, people call in sick by text now, so perhaps you can...
You do video interviews, don't you? When you're trying to recruit from far away.
Yeah, we do lots. We're fully set up for Skype and teleconferencing.
So the technology has kicked in there, let's just go back to the face-to-face thing. People put on their CV all sorts, and then they turn up for the interview. I guess the difficulty is trying to remember what they put on their CV.
So you're spot on. I had this session that we've got mums coming to courses, and was one on Thursday, and we were doing the interview section, and I told them, the minute you stop using the word interview, because interviews has a massive stigma about it.
Yeah,
it's almost like a test you have to pass at all costs.
Yeah,
because you can't go back to your friends and say, I've had 5 interviews and I got no offers, right? Because it's
not cool.
No, well, it feels like rejection, and when you're job hunting, your confidence is wavering anyway.
Yeah.
So, but if you change your language from it being an interview to being a conversation with a friend that you haven't yet met, or a discussion about your life, it does take on a different context.
Totally. That's what we do here in the studio. When people come in looking like startled rabbits, let's just have a chat rather than an interview.
So you think about the fact that you add all these things together and you think, well, technology's taking over. We're not as practiced at face-to-face meetings. And this is the most important face-to-face meeting you'll have that week or that month.
Yeah.
So invariably, human nature will have you start to be someone you're not, or accentuate your strengths, and you've got to be yourself at your best. And I always say to people about interviews, you've got to be you at your best, because the worst thing you can do, and it was the Halloween analogy that I thought we could use today, is you don't want to put a disguise on that you then cannot take off once you get the job, because there's only one thing worse than performing badly at interview is performing brilliantly at interview and getting a job that's not fitting for you.
Yeah.
And then you walk in. And I had a little bit of that example. I think I was in Sydney and I was backpacking and I really wanted to get work. And it was 1999, 2000. And I walked into a major bank and I had a chat to them. And I didn't think I overdid it, but I probably did because I'm a talker. Yeah. And then I walked in and every single person at their computer had 4 screens. Right, and this is 99, and I was lucky to have 1, right? And I went, what have I done to myself? Now, it turned out I was walking past the stockbrokers to get to my desk, right? But I had that moment of regret where I went, what did I tell them that led them to believe that I could use 4 screens at once? So you've got to be, and if you have that little moment of anguish or despair as you walk into your job, you don't want that to last. And that's why it's so important that you've got to remember that when you're going for an interview, and you're going to use the word in the context of what we're talking about, but if you picture it as a conversation with a friend that you haven't yet met, you've got to make sure that you fit them as well as them fitting you. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-way dialogue. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to be authentic and genuine about it.
Right, okay. Should the employer be sort of going religiously off the CV, or should they be looking out more for the personality type in front of them, going more for personality?
Yeah, so... I think the bigger issue at play there is how natural an environment are you giving the person to perform?
Yeah,
that's going to be consistent with how you'd want them to perform in the job.
Right.
So I'll use the example of that. If you're just staying really dry and technical the whole interview, well, do you want them to be dry and technical in the job, or do you want their personality to flourish?
Okay.
If you're, and there's many people in interview situations that do this almost inadvertently. If you're almost power tripping to the point where, because they're nervous, you're not, they walk into an interview and the interviewee feels like they're about to be tested. If you don't relax the environment, all you're experiencing is how does this person work under fierce fight or flight pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't want your I don't think any manager wants their employees or wants their staff working under fight or flight pressure 100% of the time.
Yep.
So you never really get a sense. If you don't manage the interview well, you never get a sense of the personality of the person and how they're going to perform in their job when they're relaxed and when they're free and enjoying what they do. So it's really important that, and what we do at interviews, that the first few questions is really, really born to, really meant to a person and get them into what we believe will be a natural environment with, that they perform in.
With that in mind, where do you think the best place to do an interview is?
So not in a busy cafe close to their work,
right?
Because their colleagues might walk by.
Yeah.
Yet I'm amazed at how many, and I mentioned this, I did a conference for the oil and gas industry last year, and I mentioned how many incredible interviews I spot at the back of QV1 over a coffee at that cafe, right?
Yeah.
And they all laugh knowingly. You know, yeah. They all laugh like, yeah. I've done that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you study communication of any description in school or university, it talks about getting the right medium to get your message across. So you want peace and quiet, you want confidentiality and privacy, but you want somewhere relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a room that has soft chairs rather than hard chairs and a table in between you, it's so much nicer. So we've set our interview rooms up at Prisco Search to have soft chairs, tables that aren't blocking the interviewer mm-hmm. from the interviewee, so it gives a sense of connection. But you want to really think long and hard about whether you should be doing it at 6 o'clock at night after they've had a long day.
Yeah.
Also, if you're getting an interview and you've got a choice, pick the time of the day that you know your energy levels are at the highest. So if you're a morning person,
yeah,
go and have your interview in the morning. Don't go at 4 o'clock when you know that you've been up since five with two kids or whatever the case may be, or you've been out on the bike killing yourself in 36 degrees. And then nine hours later, you're going to have the most important meeting of the day. So it's really important, both sides, that you get that right.
That's really interesting. And if you do this interview well, you're going to get the job. And then obviously you're on kind of being watched to see whether you're as good as you say you were in the interview. Very quickly, you can read that this isn't a job for you. How much is wasted, both for the individual's sake, but also the employer's sake, when that happens?
Yeah, well, research in America suggests that the cost of a bad hire is 4.5 times the person's salary.
Wow.
Now, I remember I read that and I went, oh, come on. But then when they broke it down, recruitment costs, training costs, disruption costs, re-recruitment costs,
and
maybe 3 months of the salary the person has wasted. And you know yourself, I mean, you don't just go to an interview and get a job, and well, maybe you will the odd time, but it's a 3 to 6 month mental process.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important for both the interviewer and the interviewee to get an accuracy of fit with each other. And it's not easy, but it's important for you to just be as authentic and genuine with each other. Because I wouldn't be your friend if I pretended to be someone else, you pretended to be someone else.
It's not going
to
work, is it?
No, no. And if you analogize it back to the dating game, there's only so long you can lie about your occupation with a potential partner before you have to go, listen, I'm actually not a doctor.
Yeah, that's right. And just finally, I suppose for the greatest success, you're saying be natural and remember, just be authentic, be yourself, have a chat. We talked about the time of day that you should do it, where you should do it. What about what you should wear? Is there statistical evidence that suggests, for example, that if you wear red, you're more likely to have success?
It is a power color. And they say blue and red combined for men executives is quite a power color interview. You know, I'm going to answer this inside what I just said. Wear what's you.
Okay.
You know, if you're a kind of person that is really comfortable in good pair of slacks and an open shirt, you don't need to try and choke yourself for the interview by putting a tie on.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but not the Mickey Mouse one.
Not the Mickey, or the singing Santa one that goes off in the middle of the interview.
That's not cool, is it?
No, no, because they may not know it's the tie. They might think it's Tourette's. So, but I think the most important thing is if you're working through a recruitment company, let the recruitment company partner you. What should I wear to this? What's the client like? If you're dealing with a HR person, you're going to go and meet the manager of the division, ask the HR person. I mean, it's a good question to ask. It shows awareness and intuition. The other thing I want to mention, if I can fit this into this segment, we've spoken before about you creating this wish list of what are your 5 passions in life. I call this an interview dashboard.
Yep.
So if you've got one page and you've written down, before you walk into the interview, you've written down, what are the 5 things I love about my working life and what I want to do? And what are 3 achievements that I could remember that I've done in the past?
Yep.
They help you answer so many interview questions. And you go, so someone asks you any kind of question or interview, it'll be somewhat related to what are you passionate about and why are you good?
Yeah.
So if you've got that, it's going to take a lot of those nerves because no one knows how to prepare for an interview.
That's very good advice. Yeah. Brian, thank you for that. In your dashing blue this morning.
Well, I wanted to avoid. You asked about red. Every ABC person downstairs is wearing red.
A lot of them around. A lot of bodyguards.
There are lots of gnomes in red as well.
Yeah,
good team.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, James.
Brian Briscoe with us every few weeks, talking employment matters here on Saturday Breakfast. Let's quickly go to the bureau. Mark Paul, morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
How's the weekend weather looking?
Pretty good today. We're looking at